Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode of the Hubcast. I'm Katie Apple, the Executive Director of Nonprofit Hub and Do More Good. Each episode of the Hubcast is designed to give you, our listener, ideas and inspiration to move your organization from good to growth. In every episode, we feature a thought leader who is working in or with the nonprofit sector to do more good. Well, guess what, guys? It is strategic planning season, and I am so excited to have Michelle Carney of Almora Advisors. She is their Senior Manager of Strategy, and she's going to meet with us today and help us form some strategy around strategic planning. So Michelle's background, which is beautiful, actually began when she started teaching for low-income schools as part of Teach for America and World Teach. She's gone on to become a very well-respected consultant covering many areas, including fundraising campaigns, comprehensive marketing and comm strategies, procuring grants, and strategic planning, like what we're going to talk about today. So Michelle also has an amazing educational background with degrees in psychology, business economics, poverty studies, and those are through the University of Notre Dame. She's also earned her master's in nonprofit management from Columbia University. So this gal knows her stuff. She is going to help us go from the large sticky notes and the whiteboards into something that actually means action for our organizations. So I'm excited. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsor and then we'll get started. Thank you to DonorBox for making today's episode possible. DonorBox is transforming the art of fundraising. They bring the functionality and power of online fundraising to your nonprofit with a sleek interface and nonprofit-specific tools. With DonorBox, you can connect with donors on a deeper level and raise more funds quickly and easily, helping you make an even bigger impact. Michelle, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. I loved reading your background. You've done some amazing work. You have an amazing educational background. I want to go to the schools you went to. But tell us more. Tell us how you were drawn to the nonprofit sector and what you've been doing here.
Yeah. So first off, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited to be here and to speak with you today. But this is actually a story that starts in Cambodia. So when I was an undergrad, I did my undergrad at the University of Notre Dame, and I had a chance to study abroad and to travel a bit. And so I was in Cambodia visiting the Angkor Wat temples, and we were going to watch the sunrise over the temples at 4 a.m. And so we're driving to the temples, and I saw this huge line of men, women, and children standing outside this little rundown building. And so I asked the driver what all these people were doing out there so early in the morning. And he said it was actually their hospital, and that these people were lined up outside every single day, just hoping to be seen and waiting to receive care. And there I was on this wonderful vacation with my friends, essentially. And so it made me realize how fortunate I was. And after I saw that, there was really no going back for me. I knew that I wanted to have a career where I was making an impact and helping other people have more opportunities and leading a better life. So what that looked like for me is after I graduated, I joined Teach for America, and I taught pre-kindergarten in Houston, Texas, which was a really wonderful and eye-opening experience. It was such an amazing opportunity to be part of my students' growth and to watch them go from not even being able to, say a full sentence to actually reading sight words by the end of their year or 2 years at the preschool. And so from there, I wanted to take my experience internationally. So I actually taught seventh grade in a township outside of Cape Town, South Africa after that. And I led a leadership camp there for seventh graders as well.
That's a big jump in terms of age and geography. That's big.
Yeah, so I was expecting to be working with either high schoolers, helping them apply to college, or with kindergartners when I went down there. And I got there and they said, "We actually need you in the middle school," which was a little intimidating for me, but it ended up just being a really wonderful experience. And it was really great to work with a new age group as well. But the community was also so welcoming there. I really, you know, they I walked in and I was invited into homes to have dinner with the families. And there was just so much excitement about it. And so it was really, really an incredible experience and helped with that huge gap as well. But from there, I decided that I felt like with my background and my skill set that I could have more of an impact in a different area. And so I decided to transition to the nonprofit sector. And so I gained some experience doing marketing communications, fundraising, human resources with different nonprofits. And then I joined the Masters of Nonprofit Management program at Columbia University, which was just a really incredible program and taught me so much. And I actually met a couple of incredible women there who started their own consulting firm, which is Almora Advisors. And so this is where I work now. I'm now the senior manager of strategy at Almora Advisors. And we're a consulting firm. We're woman-led, an all-woman team, and we specialize in nonprofits and corporate philanthropy. So we do everything from fundraising, strategic planning, board and leadership development, DEI, all of that for all different types of nonprofits as well. And so I primarily specialize in doing the fundraising plans and strategic plans for our clients.
Okay, so I know we're going to talk about strategic planning today, but I mean, your bio, the amount of topics that you cover is very impressive. What is your favorite?
Well, actually, it's funny that we are talking about strategic planning today because that is my favorite area. I think it's so much fun to be part of that mission and vision and goal setting, and then helping to develop a plan for how organizations are actually going to achieve that impact.
Sure. I'm with you, and I have to make a confession. We are talking about strategic planning today in part because it's on my mind for our own organization. So I thought it might be timely. I think a lot of organizations, as they come up to year end, start to want to build what the plan is for the upcoming year. So when I think of strategic planning, I think of giant post-it notes, whiteboards, offsite meetings, maybe an outside consultant. What I don't think of, and at least what I haven't experienced, is a ton of success. How do you get nonprofits to take that wonderful session, those copious notes, and put them into action?
Yeah, and so unfortunately, I think in a lot of cases, you're right. We spend all this time developing these strategic plans that are these huge, lengthy documents that are so overwhelming, they just end up sitting on the shelf collecting dust, and we never actually use anything that we added into those. And so I think there's a couple of different things that you can do to make sure that your strategic plan is something that's realistic and that you're actually going to be able to implement. And so I think the first thing is just when you're starting out with that process, making sure that you're having open dialogue. So during those conversations, you want to set lofty goals, but you also want to be realistic with that. And you want to make sure you're developing SMART goals. So things that are timely, they're specific, you have the ability to measure them as well. And so just because there's something that maybe you can't fit into a 3-year period, it doesn't mean it's something that you can never achieve. It's just maybe something that's not a focus right now. And so you want to make sure that you're including the things that are most important for your organization at the time. Another thing that's really important for strategic planning is making sure that you have a clear implementation plan. So you want to kind of outline who's responsible for doing what and by when, so that you have each action item outlined. And that anyone who's included in that implementation plan needs to have that available as well and be passed around, so that everyone knows exactly what they're responsible to help you achieve those goals. And you also want to make sure that you have someone who's kind of overseeing all of that. You can't just pass out the implementation plan and say, okay, you have it. This is what you need to do. Go for it. You need to have someone who's kind of checking in, whether that's a small committee on your board or one specific board member, depending on your size. But someone who's kind of overseeing that and making sure that you're on time with those goals and those action items are actually being completed. And if they're not, you need to make sure that you're able to adapt or pivot when necessary. You don't want to just toss out this plan that you worked so hard to create because you got a little off track. You want to make sure that you can kind of come together and decide how you can revise things to make sure you can get back on track or to meet new goals if you do need to change those a little due to the circumstances.
So I once heard a consultant, I never forgot this. It was impactful for me, but I heard a consultant say, you can't make a plan when you don't know where you're going. And what she was alluding to is that so often we focus on strategic planning, like the steps and the ownership of what, you know, jobs it's going to take to get done, but we're missing the vision. Like we don't really even know where we want to end up. Do you find that's common with nonprofits?
Yeah. And so that's actually in our strategic planning process at Amora Advisors, we start with the mission and vision. So we do a workshop with our clients to make sure that you have a clear mission statement and a clear vision statement so you know what you're trying to achieve right off the bat. And then you want to make sure you know where you're going, what your goal is, and that's going to guide the whole process for you because you're always looking back at that vision to see what you're trying to achieve and making sure that all of your goals are in line with that.
Yeah, that should be kind of the litmus test, shouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the framework we build everything against. So a couple logistical questions, and you mentioned one a little bit earlier, but I'm super curious because I've heard that 5 years, 10 years, don't do more than 2 years. What is the right amount of time for a strategic plan?
Yeah. And so I think it does kind of depend on the organization as well and where you're at. A lot of organizations were doing, you know, about 5 years previously, but with the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen a lot of organizations doing plans that are a little bit shorter. What may have been a five-year plan, they're now looking at just creating 3 years because we don't know what's coming. And, you know, we want to focus on the short term rather than creating something that might not be useful in 5 years. And so we are seeing a shift to plans that are a little bit shorter, but it does depend on your organization and where you're at as well.
Let's talk about that for a second, because COVID, like the death knell of every strategic plan out there. I shouldn't say that, but for a lot of us, it threw us for a loop. How valuable is strategic planning in a world where, I mean, it feels like everything can change at the drop of a hat?
Yeah. And so I do think strategic planning is still incredibly valuable. You mentioned this before, but your organization, you need to have a vision and clearly decide where you want to go. And then you need to have a roadmap for how you're going to get there. Otherwise, you're just kind of going blindly into the night. And so even though things come up and we have all these different crises, we still need to have a plan for where we want to go. And so one thing that I think has also come out of that is that organizations are placing a greater emphasis on crisis management within their strategic plan. And so they're thinking about not only the pandemic, but other things that could happen and how they're going to respond to those so that they are ready for that in case something happens. And you might not hit the nail on the head when you're thinking of what crisis might happen. But if you have a couple of strategies for how you can adapt in different situations, then you're going to be more prepared for that. And you do owe it to your community, your donors, and your beneficiaries to be prepared for that in case the thing happens so that you can continue your work no matter what comes up.
I want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, DonorBox. DonorBox is a donation platform that can be set up quickly and easily on your website or on a DonorBox-hosted fundraising page. They work with more than 35,000 organizations around the world, helping them increase their donations by providing an excellent donation experience. Best of all, there's no setup fee, no monthly fee, and no contract required to start using DonorBox. So go ahead, get started. Visit donorbox.org. That's www.donorbox.org to sign up. Do you find that there's value even in the exercise of strategic planning? Because I know it's not meant really to be a team building activity, but I tell you what, when I've participated in it, both in this organization and on the boards I'm on, I mean, it's valuable. It kind of teaches you to work together as a team to vision cast and to problem solve.
Yeah, absolutely. And having those conversations about where you're at and where you want to go, it's inspiring. And, you know, it is an exercise in team building, working through potential disagreements or even overcoming certain challenges or obstacles together. So it can absolutely bring your organization together as you're going through it, especially if you're bringing in people outside of the board. So you might want to consult maybe your beneficiaries, your donors, and get feedback from them on what they think the organization could do better, what's missing, what do people still need from you. And so that's something else that can help bring not only your board together, but your entire community, because they're being part of that process and you're all coming together to figure out how you can achieve that mission.
That's really interesting. So I've not participated in strategic planning in that way where we've brought in outsiders, but I'm intrigued by the idea. Is that your recommendation to have like your constituents and your stakeholders actually be part of the process?
Yeah, so you don't necessarily need them in the room as you're building that plan, but having conversations beforehand or conducting focus groups beforehand, or even if you're having a longer term process, kind of throughout that to get that feedback from all your stakeholders, it's really important because if you think about it, you know, your staff, that's who's actually on the ground carrying out this work. So they have so much valuable input about what needs are still missing or what challenges they're facing, what could be useful for the community or for the organization. And so you definitely want to get that input from those people because they have so much valuable knowledge that it could really inform your strategic planning process.
So with the staff, is that a group? I'm just thinking, you know, those are the people you need to own the plan. I mean, whatever's decided on, they need to have strong ownership of it. Is there a model where full teams as well as the board work together on the strategic plan? Or is it really something that's better seated at the governance level?
Yeah, and so I think that could also be dependent on the size of the organization. If you do have an organization that's pretty small, then it is useful to have your team on there as well. But for larger organizations, you want to avoid having too many cooks in the kitchen or you're not going to be efficient. And so I think really it's having those conversations kind of outside of your executive team or your board, and then bringing in that information to inform the process.
Definitely. That makes sense. So you touched on crisis planning, and I think we've all been convinced over the past, 18 months that is necessary and something we should all have on our strategic planning agendas. What else should be on there? What are some things that you wish more organizations would address when they sit down to do strategic planning?
Yeah, I think you want to kind of look at everything within the organization. So the way we set up our strategic plans is we look at the strategic direction. So we're looking at mission, vision, values. And then we also look at programs, how you're actually carrying out that mission. We look at marketing, communications, fundraising, and then also capacity building. So I would say those are kind of the key areas you want to make sure you're looking at to make sure that you have all the resources that you need to carry out programs that are in line with your mission and that you're able to communicate what you're doing effectively with your donors and your community.
Okay, so I have to ask this question because it happens a lot. What do you do when you get everyone together in the room, you maybe have the outside consultant, and nobody will talk? Like nobody is forthright or forthcoming, and everybody turns shy all of a sudden. How do you, and I'm thinking especially of board members, I think they're always hesitant to who work on a strategic plan for an organization in which they're not actually employed. I think there's some barrier there. How do you pull it out of people? How do you get them engaged?
Yeah, so I love to start with some sort of icebreaker or activity to kind of get everyone comfortable with each other and get people speaking. So, and that could look a lot of different ways, but one thing that I think is really great to start your strategic planning process is doing a mission moment. And so having everyone take some time to think about the mission and think about why they're there and why they feel connected to the mission and the work, and then to share that with everyone else. And that not only inspires everyone, but it gets people talking and also thinking about the organization and what it means to them and the impact that they want to have.
I love that, a mission moment. I love that. That's a great icebreaker. Very fitting. So Michelle, I want to close out by asking you to share a favorite story. So maybe one memory of a strategic planning consultation you've done, some organization that just sticks in your mind, and what made it so memorable?
Yeah. So I worked with an organization recently. They're fighting food insecurity and food waste, but their team is just, it's so lively. And they just get so excited about the work and the mission. And so we were developing a unique value proposition for them, which is something that we could really get into as well. But essentially, it's kind of outlining what makes their organization unique. And, you know, they have been having all these incredible conversations. And this is something that it can take a while to come up with, but we put it out there. And all of a sudden, everyone just like almost within 60 seconds, they were like, this is what we do. This is what makes us unique. And everyone was just right on board with it. And they came up with this beautiful little statement. And so it's just so exciting to see how having all those conversations and that dialogue. And like we mentioned, they had been building their team throughout the whole process, allowed them to really come up with something really beautiful so quickly. And just to see that excitement within them for how quickly they came up with it and how spot on it was to help describe their organization.
It must have been top of mind and close to their heart if it came out that clearly. I mean, mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And man, value propositions, that's something I wish was in every nonprofit strategic plan. So often overlooked. What makes you unique? What makes you different? That's the key to selling any cause, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being part of today's episode. I think you've kind of excited and energized us. We all want to go out and get started with our strategic planning. Want to get those board members talking. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I hope this is helpful for everyone who's listening and for you, Katie, as you embark on this process yourself coming up.
I'm looking forward to it a little bit more now, a little bit more. Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for joining us for today's Hubcast. I want to give another shout out to our sponsor, DonorBox, for making this discussion on strategic planning possible. So for more great content, including value proposition statements and strategic planning, which are both hot topics today, go to nonprofithub.org. We have all the resources you need to take your nonprofit from good to growth. Also, I hope you'll join us this May for the ultimate nonprofit conference experience at CauseCamp. More details about camp can be found at cause.camp.